KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8:01, we have cloudy skies, a few sprinkles, 55 degrees in Atlantic. So far, we received a total of 85 one-hundredths of an inch of rainfall. Good morning, I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News, brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 70 years. An attorney says a man arrested in Texas in connection with the shooting of an Iowa police officer will not fight extradition back to Iowa. The Sioux City Journal reports the attorney for Jamal Dean said that Dean told a judge in Corpus Christi, Texas on Wednesday that he would waive proceedings. Dean was arrested Saturday in Riviera, Texas. The 21-year-old was wanted on a warrant that listed attempted murder. He's accused of shooting a rifle at Sioux City police officer Kevin McCormick during a traffic stop on April 29th. McCormick is expected to make a full recovery. Woodbury County Sheriff Dave Drew says experienced deputies will go to Texas, take charge of Dean, and bring him back to Sioux City. News time is 8:02.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson's True Value for all of your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all of your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut in downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
An official of the Riverside School District hopes that the third time is the charm when it comes to passing a bond issue for a new 7th through 12th grade facility. The district school board this week accepted petitions for a June 25th special election on a $15.1 million bond issue for a new facility planned for a site near the intersection of Highways 6 and 59 south of Oakland. A previous bond issue attempts for the new K-12 facility were rejected in April of 2011 and February of last year. The last attempt to pass the measure came up short of the 60% supermajority needed for the measure to pass at 59.2%. According to Superintendent Jim Sutton, the latest proposal includes an auditorium, in addition to geothermal heating system, athletic complex, and track. The tax levy for the bond is the same as before at $2.70 per $1,000 valuation. An informal meeting on the latest proposed bond measure is expected to take place next month, just weeks before a vote during the special election. Harrah's Council Bluffs will scrap the gambling boat that has been a fixture on the Missouri River for 17 years. Harrah's considered selling the Canesville Queen gambling boat, but found there wasn't much interest in a three-level floating casino. Iowa initially required state-licensed casinos to operate or locate on boats, but changed the law in 2007 to let gambling centers operate fully on shore. Harrah's will begin shutting down the Riverboat Casino this month and expects a complete closure by June the 3rd. The casino is moving into a new space after an $8 million remodel of an existing convention center. Five cities in Iowa and one in Nebraska have received federal grants to help clean up contaminated former industrial sites. The Environmental Protection Agency awards the money for environmental assessments, planning, and cleanup projects. In Iowa, the cities of Dubuque, Fort Dodge, and Ottumwa each received $400,000 to assess sites in need of cleanup. Council Bluffs received $200,000 and Coralville $382,000. The EPA says grants target underserved and economically disadvantaged neighborhoods where environmental cleanups and new jobs are most needed. The EPA awarded grants to 240 projects in 45 states this year. Nearly $700,000, make that $740,000, in Community Attraction and Tourism, or CAT, grants were awarded to three projects Wednesday by the Vision Iowa Board. Jessica O'Reilly, a spokesperson for the board, says a more than $2.6 million project in Sioux City is among the recipients.
The Milwaukee Railroad Shops Historic District was awarded $314,862 toward the exterior renovation of five historic buildings. They're also doing a permanent restroom facility, a miniature railroad, and continuing some improvements to their roundhouse building and machine shop building.
Another project in Woodbury County was awarded $25,000. The town of Mobile is planning to raise just over $123,000 for the construction of a park pavilion.
The Mobile Main Street Pavilion will include the construction of a park pavilion with an updated kitchen, food prep area, fully handicap accessible restrooms, and open-air seating for about 200-250 people. They're also relocating a sand volleyball court in that park.
And the final project awarded a CAT grant is located in Winterset.
The John Wayne Birthplace Museum was awarded $400,000 to their just about $1.4 million museum project.
And the project is getting $400,000 in Vision Iowa funding. John Wayne was born in Winterset on May 26th of 1907. MidAmerican Energy says it plans to spend nearly $2 billion to install 656 new wind turbines in Iowa. Bill Furman, the company's president and CEO, says MidAmerican customers in Iowa should see a 1% reduction in their utility bills once those turbines are up and running.
As a result of this project, we're actually able to reduce rates by $10 million by 2017.
By starting the project later this year, MidAmerican will qualify for federal wind production tax credits, which are set to expire on December 31st. Over the past several years, MidAmerican has spent $4 billion to install 1,267 wind turbines around the state. MidAmerican plans to add the new turbines along the wind ridges in Iowa.
In 2016, when the fleet is built out, you could do the calculation at about 39% of the energy that our customers would use could be supplied by wind.
The project should be complete, he says, by mid-2015.
The actual sites are still under development, but generally, if you look at a good wind map, you can probably get a good feel where we'll be targeting. The ultimate decision on that will be done over the next couple of months.
There are no state or local tax breaks being offered for the project. Furman says the federal wind production tax credit is critical to the survival of the industry. Iowa's governor invited the MidAmerican executive to make the announcement in a news conference staged in the governor's state house office late Wednesday afternoon.
MidAmerica Energy has the new record. $1.9 billion investment in Iowa, the largest capital investment in our state system.
The governor says farmers benefit from the long-term leases MidAmerican will pay to erect the turbines in the countryside, and counties benefit from the rising property tax base. A MidAmerican news release indicated landowner payments would top $3 million a year, but MidAmerican's president would not comment on what individual farmers might expect to be paid for leasing his land on one of the new wind turbines. Branstad credits MidAmerican's expanding wind turbine portfolio with landing Facebook's eventual billion-dollar expansion in the Des Moines suburb of Altoona. MidAmerican executives estimate 460 construction workers will be hired to put up the new turbines. MidAmerican will put 48 workers on its full-time payroll to operate and maintain those wind turbines. Governor Terry Branstad issued another disaster proclamation Tuesday, adding 15 more counties in southern and southeast Iowa to the disaster list for the severe weather and flooding that took place in April. The latest proclamation adds, in our area, Ringgold County. Residents in 15 counties and 8 others previously named in disaster declarations are eligible for state low-income disaster grants. Department of Human Services spokesman Roger Munns says grants of up to $5,000 are available.
They have the money up front to do the repairs. They should decide what's needed and keep all the receipts, and then they can go online and find the instructions and an application to seek reimbursement.
The grants are based on income, so a family of two with a gross annual income of about $31,000 would qualify for a grant. Munn says there's also a way to get money before you make the repairs.
If they don't have the money up front, then there's a process for seeking a voucher, and there are numbers to call for the local agencies that will evaluate the damage, determine if you're eligible, and then issue a voucher.
Residents seeking a voucher should contact their local community action agencies for more information.
People have 45 days from the declaration to actually respond.
Those who want to make repairs and then get reimbursed can find out more via the disaster assistance link on the DHS homepage at dhs.iowa.gov. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, a Cleveland man has been arraigned on charges of rape and kidnapping days after three women missing for about a decade were found alive in his home. Ariel Castro appeared in court this morning. He looked down at the floor while a lawyer spoke to the judge. His bond was set at $2 million in each case. Police say they've talked at length with Castro about the three women in building their case. And while they're not revealing many details, police do say that women were kept inside Castro's house for all but a few brief minutes over the last 10 years. The number of Americans applying for unemployment benefits is at a fresh five-year low. Applications fell last week by 4,000 to a seasonally adjusted 323,000. The decline signals fewer layoffs and possibly more hiring. Authorities are searching off of Australia's east coast for two passengers on a Carnival cruise ship who are believed to have fallen overboard last night. Two Australian citizens were discovered missing this morning after the Carnival Spirit docked in Sydney, and police say there's surveillance camera footage showing them going overboard. Carnival has been plagued by a series of high-profile problems, including fires and the grounding of the Costa Concordia off the coast of Italy that killed 32 people. Jurors in Phoenix go back to work today to decide whether a woman they convicted in the shooting and stabbing death of her one-time boyfriend deserves the death penalty. Jodi Arias was convicted yesterday of first-degree murder. In a TV interview right after the verdict, Arias said she preferred being put to death rather than spending the rest of her life in prison. KJAN News Time is 8:11.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson's True Value for all of your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all of your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut in downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
In our funeral announcements, Louis Albert Heller, age 65 of Avoca, died Sunday at his home. A massive Christian burial service for Louis Heller will be this morning at 10:30 at St. Peter's Catholic Church in Defiance. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Mildred Hogan, age 96 of Casey, died Sunday at the new homestead in Guthrie Center. Funeral services for Mildred Muggs Hogan will be today at 10:30 at St. John's Lutheran Church in Casey, with the Johnson Family Funeral Home of Stewart in charge of arrangements. Barbara Jean Butler, age 85 of Stewart, died Monday at the Stewart Community Care Center. Funeral services for Barbara Butler will be tomorrow at 10 o'clock at the Johnson Family Funeral Home Chapel in Stewart. Judy Sheriff, age 75 of Greenfield, died Monday at the Winterset Care Center North. Celebration of Life services for Judy Sheriff will be on Saturday at 10:30 at the United Methodist Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has the arrangements. Sally Larson, age 79 of Florida, died December 12th. Funeral services for Sally Larson will be on Saturday at 11 o'clock at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Kimbleton. Odie Funeral Home in Kimbleton is in charge of the arrangements. Sylvia Mary Gall, age 96 of Erling, died Tuesday at Murtu Medical Center in Harlan. Massive Christian burial service for Sylvia Gall will be Saturday at 1 o'clock at St. Joseph's Catholic Church in Erling. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Lonnie Dale Olson, age 51 of Avoca, died Monday at his home. Graveside services for Lonnie Olson will be Saturday at 3 o'clock at the Oak Hill Cemetery in Hancock. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. And Janice Marie Whalen, age 68, who's formerly of Avoca, died October the 5th in Missouri. Graveside services for Janice Whalen will be Monday at 10:30 at the Graceland Cemetery in Avoca. Pauly Jones Funeral Home of Avoca has arrangements. The news was brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 70 years. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.